Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss. On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson. I got that
sunshine in my pocket. Andrew Carlson, you have been on fire tonight behind the glass filling in for Jose. How are you doing so far on the Boss and the Gloss?
I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time.
No issues thus far?
Not a single one.
You have enough energy for Bailando después el show?
I think Alex might have a few issues with that.
Well, maybe so. Alex Gold, who comes on next, does need the able support of Andrew Carlson.
To be the real gold standard.
Yeah, I suppose. But just for clarity, everybody does know that Jose likes to go out salsa dancing with Carla after the show normally. And Jose is the normal producer. And with him out, I mean, Carla may have to go dancing on her own.
That would be sad.
It would be sad.
But I would do it.
She would do it.
I love to move.
The woman loves to dance. I hear about your exploits on Saturday mornings, a hip-hop class. Is that what it is?
That's it.
Tell me more.
Three times a week. Nope.
Three
times. You'll have to come with me, boss.
I've been invited, and I've pondered it.
I would pay to see you twerk. Well, Andrew, would that be beautiful?
Is that what they do at hip-hop? They twerk?
I'll never tell.
What do you think?
That would be a sight to behold.
No, please. I will not make hip-hop class nor twerking. However, I am watching intently the Million Dollar Night. It is the home run derby in MLB. Peterson has advanced over Bregman. Vlad Guerrero Jr. has advanced over Matt Chapman.
With 29 record-setting home runs.
Guerrero with a great round one, isn't he? He's been outstanding. Now, Acuna has, what, 25?
25.
He's got that on the board. Josh Bell up now.
Yeah, he's halfway through. He's got 4.
Okay, he's got 4.
He's got some work to do.
But Acuna looking to be in good shape. And a lot at stake for these guys on the home run derby night.
$1 million make you holler.
Big deal. Have you ever done anything for $1 million?
Well, we're not going to talk about this on air, but we will. Next.
No. Okay. You never danced for money, I guess. That's as well as you dance.
Anyway, let's get on
Move
to
on.
Bigger and better things.
All right. When we return, we're going to look at the all-star rosters and break it down and look at the big game that will be tomorrow night.
A lot of Astros.
6 of them. Count them.
Loving that.
When we return, the MLB All-Star Game preview on the Boston Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Prepare for your summer road trips. Before you head out, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventive maintenance before you hit the road will ensure a safe journey during the summer months ahead. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You know, when I was last on the road, we were traveling and we stopped at Valero.
Did you get a slushy?
Well,
things rock.
They do.
They are good.
No, I went in. I mean, yes, you can buy gas lots of places, but you can't always get the Valero slushy, can you?
No, that's a fact.
And I will confess, I went in. There was a big rack of, Hostess cupcakes.
Gosh, it scared me what you were saying. I didn't know where that was going. You paused after big rack. That made me nervous.
No, not that kind of rack.
All right,
I went
glad
into Valero.
You're
I got a
cupcakes.
Little
That's good.
Rack of Hostess cupcakes. I brought back a 6-pack for our program director, Craig Larson.
He
loves a good Hostess cupcake. So anyway, it was a great day, a great experience. Great service at Valero. We loved it, and we will be going back.
And let me tell you why you need that slushie. I got into my car after being out of it 1 hour on Saturday,
yep,
and the temperature gauge was 116.
Well, we are living...
This is not a lie.
...in the hottest, most humid part of the country, no doubt, in Houston, Texas right now. It is a tough time to survive, but...
Not good for the hair either.
No.
That's hair.
I'm worried about the hair.
Yeah,
your hair.
Exactly.
The gloss is glossing it up tonight, though. Your hair is remaining well intact. Andrew, you
a lot
have
of
no,
product.
Andrew, you have no problems with Carla's hair tonight, do you?
Not a single one.
I mean, that's not the reason that you're saying no to going
Andrew
dancing after the
getting
show.
Dragged into this rigmarole.
Well, he's
sorry,
been invited
Andrew
to dance, and he's resisted.
Listen to talk of twerking, salsa dancing. There's a lot that goes into this. You had no idea.
Well, he's turning red. He's blushing. He seems to be embarrassed.
Just a tad bit.
Just a tad. He didn't know what the show was rated.
He's like,
my
tell
goodness.
Tell that cougar lady to just shut it down. Goodness.
Not at all. All right. Tomorrow night, MLB All-Star Game. One of the great, great traditions of the summer.
I love the All-Star Game. I really do.
I had a grandmother who, at well into her late 80s, when the MLB All-Star Game would come, she would make herself three hot dogs, pour chili all over it, load it up with jalapenos, and sit and eat her three hot dogs. She'd do that once a year.
How long did Granny last? That's what I want to know.
Well, she died 2 days after one of the All-Star Games. I mean, just a little bit too
okay,
much
I'm
chili
laughing.
Pepper.
It's not funny. I'm sorry. May she rest in peace.
She rests in peace.
With her hot dogs.
With her hot dogs. But I always think of her at this special time because it is one of the great sports traditions. And I look at the rosters this year, and I think I feel pretty good about the votes, the players that were picked. It's a heck of a roster.
Yes, you do, because we're based out of Houston, and we are leading the All-Star Game with six players.
A six-pack out of the Astros.
Really
pretty
nice.
Impressive group,
including
though.
A starting pitcher for the American League in Verlander, and named today.
So you can be the Astros apologist now. Do you think all those six were deserving?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I really, really do. I couldn't be happier, honestly. It's great. I mean, you've got Alex Bregman.
Yep.
Tell me one name you don't like on here. Michael Brantley, new pickup, new Astro, and he has just been a workhorse and a great vet in this locker room.
I will
well.
Give you a little credit. I remember when the Astros first acquired him, you said this guy was going to be a really great addition to this team.
I did, and I have to say that I had to tell a lot of people who were like, what is this Michael Brantley?
Well, they didn't know who he was.
Oh,
he was a relative unknown.
Right, because he's out of the Cleveland, came from the Indians. So for him, how fun. This is his first return to Cleveland. You know, since being traded to Houston. So that's a great, great thing for him to go, quote, home. But we want him in his new home in Houston. George Springer, I mean, even missing significant time on the injury list, he's such a star.
Yep.
He's such a star. And then you've got three pitchers in Verlander, who got the start, named the starter today. Gerrit Cole, leading the league in strikeouts. Gosh, he's having a great season. And his win-loss record doesn't show, you know, his dominance, but that's been a lot of, you know, the Houston offense not being able to support him as well. And Presley, how great that to have him in there too. So three pitchers, three position players. I couldn't be happier as an Astros fan.
It is interesting. Justin Verlander taking the mound for the American League. He has been outstanding, as you noted. And then the Dodgers pitcher, Ryu, will be starting for the National
Clearly.
League.
Wow.
Well, he's outstanding. So this is the first time I was... Interesting stat, since 2001, I mean, that goes way back. First time since 2001 that the All-Star featured two starting pitchers who were aged 32 years or older.
Oh, my goodness, really?
Both pitchers.
Ryu is that old?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Both pitchers over 32 years older or older. And those two pitchers back in 2001 were heady names. Randy, the big unit, Johnson.
Oh, gosh.
And Rocket.
Was he with the Astros at that
Roger
time?
Roger Clemens. No, because he must have been, well, I guess he was with the Diamondbacks because Roger Clemens was, well, the other pitcher. And
oh, my goodness.
And so those
are some kind of names.
Yeah, those are big names. And then that's just another fun footnote. Both the Dodgers and the Astros last had pitchers start the All-Star game. And it was when they were all in Cincinnati in 2015. It was Zach Greinke of the Dodgers.
Oh, my gosh. He's now a Diamondback.
Who pitched against Houston's Dallas Keuchel.
Who's now an Atlanta Brave.
Yeah.
Wow, gosh, that free agency.
I mean, that was a great year for Keuchel. It was the best season he's never really been the same.
That was a Cy Young year. Yes, yeah, so Verlander, Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers and Mike Trout of the Angels are making their 8th All-Star appearance.
Yeah. I mean, and wow. Trout, 8 straight seasons. So he's been extraordinary.
I mean, can we just talk about Mike Trout for a minute? I just watched a series against Houston, and I cannot help but just marvel at this guy's game. I mean, he's got 28. I mean, he leads the American League in home runs with 28. But just, I love how he plays the game. He just plays the game right. He is positive. He is a hard worker. He is a gamer. He is just, I just love what he represents. That's where the biggest, fattest contract in baseball is worth every penny. Well, I love it going to him.
It is interesting because you have to compare him to Machado and to Harper, the two big free agents, way hyped up. And frankly, neither one of them has played well at all. I mean, Harper was not a consideration for the All-Star team at all. And these guys have struggled. So, in fact, when you look at the big free agent signings from last offseason, for the most part, the group has way underperformed. We're not seeing their faces at the All-Star game this year.
No, it's fascinating. But I love it. I love the new crop coming in. And I really, you know, for Mike Trout, I love that he's loyal to the Angels. But I also wish, gosh, for him, that he could get out of Angels purgatory. But, you know, you never know what's going
to
happen.
Well, it doesn't seem to bother him.
It doesn't.
He is playing his career in relative anonymity. Given what he's accomplished, he's not getting a lot of press, a lot of attention. But remember, there was some critique of him a while back that he wasn't promoting himself enough. He wasn't social media savvy enough. That's not what he's about.
It's not what he's about.
About playing baseball and playing it at the highest level.
And he does it better than anybody. And, you know, let's just give a shout out to the Angels for really having a hellacious week and just holding their heads high with the loss of Tyler Skaggs. Just simply devastating. The pitcher who was found, you know, deceased in his room on a road trip to play the Rangers. And then yesterday, the collision with Jake Marisnick and Jonathan Lucroy, their catcher, which got him a concussion and a broken nose. I mean, it's just been a rough week for the Angels. So my hearts go out to them.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Rob Nen. He is, well, one of the
great
relievers and closers with a great career in the MLB. He had about 341 saves during the course
National League saves leader with 45 one year.
Amazing contributor and standout closer for the Marlins, and he will be...
Finished his career with the Giants.
Yes, and he will be joining us momentarily. And let's ask him about this All-Star roster. How does he think it shapes up, and what does it mean to play in an All-Star game? When we return, it will be Rob Nen here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Rob Nen. He's a 3-time All-Star. Rob, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So, well, 3 times you were at the All-Star game. Tomorrow is the big event. What are you most looking forward to seeing?
You know, I think just the fact that to see, you know, the best guys out there on the field and have a chance to have those guys go out and show what they can do and go out there and it's just usually a great event and something that I think every player cherishes when they get a chance to go.
Is there a player that you really wish had not been left off the teams?
You know, it's hard. You know, there's so many guys that deserve it, and there's so many guys that probably should have been on it. You know, so it's hard. It's hard to really sit back and really say which one should have gone. You know, the guys that are there, you know, I'm happy for those guys. It's good to see what those guys are doing and having a chance to go and really enjoy the festivities.
So, Rob, you were a National League saves leader 1 year, 3-time All-Star, and you've pitched in a Game 7 of a World Series. Has there ever been a more stressful moment in your playing career than the Game 7? Take us through what pitching in a game like that is.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, it's something that you know, to be in that moment, to be in, you know, in late in the game, have a chance to, you know, go in there and pitch and get help the team, you know, get a win. It's pretty amazing. It's one of those things that, you know, when you know you're the last two teams out there fighting for for that ring and the championship and fighting for the city and playing for your fans. It's one of those things that you never really forget, and you never it's almost you don't really believe it's really happening.
Well, you did a great job, and it was so fun to watch you. I have to ask you, though, you had the special delivery, the toe tap, that's now, I think it's illegal now. Tell us about your toe tap. How did that evolve?
And what does that do for you?
You know, it was one of those things where I came out of high school and I signed. I had my toe pointed down or pointed up. I don't know which one. And they wanted the opposite. And it just kind of went back to doing that. I just started doing it. It was one of those things. Once I did it, I tried to stop and try to get rid of it. I could never get rid of it. They went from putting, you know, cinder block in front of me, so I had to step over it and really tried to get me to change it. And we did everything we could. Nothing really worked. And once I got the big leagues, it was one of those things that it was just my delivery. And you know, it didn't look very pretty at the start. I ended up getting to the right position at release point. So it worked for me. It's not something I'd ever teach or even tell anybody to do, but it was definitely my little signature delivery, and it's something that that really, really worked for me. You know, the more I looked at, the more I really kind of paid attention after I got done playing. It was a timing mechanism to give my arm enough time to get up and get in the right spot.
Do you think it did increase the velocity of your pitches?
I don't think it increased the velocity. I think it was one of those things where it just got me to sync up the right way. You know, gave my arm enough time to get up and get in the right position, really have a chance to get it where it needed to be. So for me, it didn't help. I think it was just a matter of me being able to get everything in the right sequence and really load it the right way and get it going.
We're talking to Rob Nen. He has 314 saves in his career. He's currently a special assistant in the Giants front office. So the trading deadline looms just a few weeks away. What are you anticipating happening over the next few weeks? Any big names moving that you could envision?
You know, I don't know. And I really don't do much for the Giants these days. It's really one of those things. When I first got into the game, they wanted me to be a part of it. And I still do some stuff for the Giants. I don't do a whole lot of day-in and day-out stuff. It's more going to spring training and doing some PR stuff for them. So, but with that being said, I think there's going to be some moves. I think there's going to be some teams that you know, need some bullpen help or need a starting pitcher, you know, like it does every year. There's always a bunch of trades. And you know, this is really what makes the game so interesting is coming down to this point in the year is do you sell, do you buy, who's going where? You know, there's always a couple big trades that kind of happen and everybody's kind of wowed and really didn't realize that one was going to – didn't see that one coming. So it's definitely one of those things that it's going to be interesting the next few weeks.
We're talking to Rob Nen. So it would seem that, well, the MLB is on a trajectory to hit more home runs than any other season. Do you believe that it's been a change in the ball?
No. Well, I don't know. I know that when I played, there was times that the balls were a little harder than other years. I think they can definitely probably tinker with it a little bit. But for the most part, I think it's guys just getting bigger and stronger. And you know, the thing with what guys are doing now, they're you know, whatever we talk about, the launch angle is different, and everybody's trying to get home runs. And you know, there's a lot more strikeouts, you know, so it's either strikeout or home run. There's not a whole lot of getting guys over. There's not a whole lot of bunting. There's not a whole lot of, you know, if the ball's pitched away, go the other way. You know, it's all home runs. You know, it's guys are going out there and swinging for it. And you know, if you connect it, all these guys are bigger, stronger. And you know, when you do hit that angle and you do hit the ball the right way, it goes.
Rob, you played when roles of pitchers were very traditional and very clear. And now we've got things like you have an opener. If your pitching staff doesn't have a clear starter, you use an opener. You might use your reliever in the middle, or you might bring your starter out to close. What do you think of that evolution of the pitching lineup now?
You know, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's better for the game, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it. You know, I'm a traditionalist, and I like the game the way it was, and you know, I like the starters to go out there and pitch and do their thing, and the middle guys come in and setup guys come in after that, and closers finish the game. I think that's, you know, that was my era. That was what we did. You know, I'm not saying this is a bad way to do it. I'm not saying it's the wrong way to do it. It's just something that the game is is moving towards. You know, I think that if you're going to be a starter and you can go out and throw three or four pitches, you know, you should be starting. You should start the first game. And you know, if you can't go out there and start the first inning and get three outs and go to the second inning, maybe you shouldn't be in the big leagues. I don't know. But, you know, if you're groomed to be a starter, start the game. That's the way I look at it.
When you look at Justin Verlander, who will be starting, of course, tomorrow in the All-Star game, he's not a young chicken anymore. He is a longstanding veteran. He's kept himself in great shape. A lot of the older pitchers are pitching well late. What do you think's enabled him to have such a good, long, sustained career?
You know, I think he's one of the best in the game. I think he's going to go down as one of the best in the game. He's a guy that, you know, I don't know him. I've never met him, but just by watching and looking at him, he's a guy that works hard at what he needs to do to get himself ready to be out there on a day in and day out basis. You know, I'm sure he's got a great routine for the off season to be able to, you know, go through a full season, be able to keep his velocity up. You know, and that's what it takes. It takes somebody to know what it takes and what they need to do to get through a full season of starting, you know, 30 some games a year or going in the bullpen and being able to pitch 70 or 80 appearances during the year. You have to realize what your body needs and you know, he definitely knows it. And he's, like I say, he's one of the best and he's fun to watch.
Rob, you played almost your entire career in the National League. As a pitcher, did you like to hit or want to hit? And do you think the pitchers should hit or should they think about doing a DH in the National League?
You know, that's hard. I like to hit? I like to hit in BP. I thought I could hit in BP. You know, as far as getting in the game and going out there and facing guys that were getting paid a lot of money to get guys like me out and other guys in the lineup out, it was challenging. It was fun. I enjoyed it, but it's not something I want to do all the time. With that being said, I do like that one league has DH and one league doesn't. You know, I think it's two different leagues. It's part of the game. It's you know, it's been around for a long time. And like I say, I'm kind of a traditionalist where I don't like the changes. And I like the whole idea of the pitcher going out there and laying down a bunt or, you know, doing slap the ball the other way to move a guy over or just going out there and trying to score a run. So for me, you know, I think they should keep it. I think they should keep the DH and I think they should just kind of keep going the way they're going.
So we're broadcasting out of Houston. The Astros have six players in the All-Star game. Of course, the starting pitcher. How impressed are you by this Astros team? And are they the one that you would say is set apart? Where do you put the Yankees, Astros? How do you compare them thus far? Dodgers as well.
You know, I love to watch Houston. I think those guys play the game the right way. They go out there and you know, they have speed, they have power, they hit for average. They do the little things. They get guys over. They bunt guys. I saw Altuve the other day trying to lay down a bunt. I love the way those guys play. You know, I think the whole team, the chemistry, and those guys going out there and do what they do. They're a fun team to watch. They're energetic. You know, they bust their butt. They're definitely one of my favorite teams to watch. You know, then you got the Dodgers who go out there and just pound it, hit home runs, and you know they've got a great team too. So. There's so many good teams out there, you know, even from the Yankees, you know, you got all those guys that, you know, when they're healthy, when they're going, you know, it's a fun game to watch. It's a fun team to root for. So, but I definitely think Houston's probably one of my favorite teams right now.
Fair enough. All right. It'll be fun to watch down the stretch. This is Rob Nen. Thank you so much for joining us on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line.
Thanks for having me on.
So he showed some love for your Astros.
Yeah. He sure did. What did you love? What was your favorite thing about that interview? I thought he was great.
Well, as a longstanding Red Sox fan and seeing how they've struggled this year, I think he makes a good point that it's been exhausting to come off of the World Series and to repeat and play with the same level of intensity.
Well, and Cora was with the Astros when they won their World Series.
Yep.
And they went deep, you know, that year too. They were in the ALDS against Houston. So it is hard to keep that up. And things, stars have to align.
I loved his analysis of the roles. I mean, hypothetically.
Pitching roles?
Yes, pitching roles. Hypothetically, you could begin with an opener and then have a long pitcher at the end. That we've come locked and loaded into these roles. And he said he likes the roles. He's old school, and I get it. But there is that hypothetical that, look, you just got to get through nine innings. How do you care whether you divide it up quickly, early, or then divide it up later? I guess there's certainly a rhythm that is important for players.
Well, I appreciate that he's a traditionalist, and he said it several times, and that he loves the Astros because of it, because he said they play the game the right way that should be played. That's pretty cool. I love that.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at some fireworks that happened at Wimbledon on July 4th.
Oh, yeah.
A little dust-up between two of the men players. We'll take a close look at that when we return. It will be the He Said, She Said segment on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, we have an update on our Million Dollar Night, the Home Run Derby in MLB. And we are in round two. So the four remaining participants are Vladdy Guerrero, who is battling Jock Peterson right now. And in fact, well, Guerrero's put up a lot of home runs. How much did he put up there? 27 here in round two?
27, but he's still getting 28 now. He got an extra seconds.
All right, so he's
seconds.
Got...
Here he goes. 29! Oh my gosh.
So Guerrero's on fire here in round two. He had a record 29 in round one. And he will finish round two.
Well, I can't tell
with 29 again. So he is in good position. He will face Peterson here in round two. And then on the other end of the bracket, as it stands right now, it's Pete Alonso who will go against Ronald Acuna. So very exciting times. And with $1 million at stake, I think it's got the players' attention.
I think so.
I would think.
And they got the young guns in there. I love it.
All right, let's go to our famous, world-renowned He Said, She Said segment, the much-anticipated, highly acclaimed, award-winning segment here on the Boston Gloss of SB Nation Radio. And what we do here is we look at what sports luminaries have said, and we unpack it in great detail. So the first one I want to begin with is what happened at Wimbledon. There were a little bit of fireworks on July 4th. It was Rafael Nadal facing Nick Kyrgios. And
they have history.
They have a little history. And Kyrgios went after Nadal, hit him hard, hit a slam right at his body. And when asked afterward, Kyrgios was asked afterward if he would apologize for this big hit to Nadal. And this is what Kyrgios had to say.
Why would I apologize? I mean, dude's got how many slams? How much money in the bank account? I think he can take a ball to the chest, bro. I'm not going to apologize to him at all.
Did you aim it straight at him?
Yeah, I actually was going, like, I was going for him, yeah. I wanted to hit him square in the chest. Lucky he's got decent hands.
Well, there it is.
A plus for honesty.
Yeah, it was honest, it was forthright, and he was going for the jugular.
I think, you know, what's unfortunate about Kyrgios is that he has crazy good racket skills.
Yep.
I mean, if you watch him, he is amazing. And his power is incredible. He's 24 years old.
Yep.
But he gets caught up. He gets caught up in stuff like this.
Right.
Who cares how much money someone makes and how many Grand Slam titles do you? This is tennis. Why do you have to focus on being sure you hit him instead of focus on, my talent could totally beat this dude and do it? I don't know. I think he's a little young in that way. And Nadal is locked in. I mean, he is such a competitor. So, I mean, it's a great match, but I think, I don't know, I think the distractions are a little too much. What do you think? You're a tennis guy. You tell me.
I am, and I actually think that some of this is good for the sport. It's been sort of a quiet sport that's lost a lot of media attention. And frankly, for tennis to get its groove back, it needs a little bit of that old personality.
A little McEnroe?
The John McEnroe, the Ilie Nastase, the guys who are big talkers, have a bit of an edge out on the court, maybe yell at the refs every now and then. I just think that there's something healthy for the game of tennis. Tennis has not been the marquee sport in the last 10, 15 years, although they've had some extraordinary players, Nadal at the top of the list, or at least in the big three. But tennis has not gotten the kind of attention that other sports have gotten, and maybe
unless Serena Williams blows up, or
right.
At least we had some positive attention this week with Coco Gauff, the 15-year-old U.S. unseeded.
Yep.
taking it all the way today to Wimbledon.
I mean,
she
I
lost
was
to the seventh seed.
I was surprised this morning to turn on the television and see that the Wimbledon matches were on TV because, frankly, during the course of the week, there's historically the last few years you haven't seen them in primetime viewing in the morning hours. But
yeah, no, it is good for the sport. That's a great point to bring up.
That's a positive on a negative. Kyrgios going for the jugular. I'm going to go with the positive because I think it may well be good for tennis. It draws some attention, a little bit of fireworks on the 4th of July.
I just would love to see his talent turn into results.
Yep. All right, let's go to the next one. This is Nick Nurse, head coach of the Toronto Raptors. Obviously, the Raptors had the big setback this week with Kawhi Leonard going from the Raptors to the Clippers. And this is what head coach Nick Nurse said. I thought he was sort of a gracious person in defeat. Let's hear Nick Nurse.
You can't blame a guy for wanting to go home. Like, that's what he texted me today. I'm going home, you know. And you know, I just said, you've changed a lot of lives, man, by what you accomplished in Toronto, mine especially. And thank him for what he did. And we'll look to the future and we'll look to do it again.
Class personified right there. I mean, you know, the media would love to find a villain in all of this. And what I saw in the finals, I don't love Toronto fans. They're pretty brutal, what they did to the Curry family and all. But hey, they are not vilifying Kawhi Leonard, nor should they. And when you've got a leader like Nick Nurse, I mean, a year ago when he was named coach, I was like, Nick who? He was a G League coach.
Yep.
And look, I mean, he acknowledged, you know, Kawhi's done a lot for everybody. He changed lives, including mine. I mean, that's impressive. And they knew when Masai Ujiri brought him in, it was going to be possibly a one-year rental. And Toronto couldn't have rolled out a red carpet better than him. Nick Nurse managed his minutes, his load management beautifully. I mean, you know, he was struggling in the finals, but not enough to hold back any talent. I mean, he really did that beautifully, brought a championship to the city. And I really give them a ton of credit for graciously saying, how can I blame him for wanting to go home?
Yep. I mean, they knew it when they got him. Eyes wide open. It was a one-year deal. And there were other teams that considered trading for Kawhi but didn't want to have a one-year rental. Credit the Raptors. They took the gamble. They got him. They won the championship. But look, it was always understood. To me, it's very different than the Anthony Davis situation because Kawhi played out his contract and then was free, and he chose to go. Anthony Davis, in the middle of the season, went to the Pelicans and said, I want out, and you've got to trade me because I'm going to walk after my contract ends. But he forced a trade, effectively. Now, you might say, oh, well, the Pelicans didn't still have to trade him, but they sort of did. I mean, was a bad look. It was a bad – it leaked out in the public.
He forced
a trade, and he didn't honor his contract. Kawhi honored the contract, and they just decided to go play for the team he wanted to play for.
But, you know, you just look at how – we've talked about this before. To win a championship at any level of sport, you've got to have, not only do you have to have talent, but you have to have things go your way.
Yep.
And if you looked at what Kawhi, the heat that he took when he was in San Antonio, he basically played three or four games the year that he sat out with that, was it a quad or a calf injury? I can't even remember exactly what it was. I mean, people were raking him over the coals that he was not a team player. He didn't travel. He was doing his rehab in New York. Wham, wham, wham.
And where is he, they'd say, because he often wasn't there, right?
And they're like, oh, his uncle or his godfather's his manager. This is a disaster, da-da. He takes it all, and San Antonio's never letting him go if he's a star. At this point, they're like, see ya, Toronto. Worked out that deal with Toronto, and look how it set him up beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got to L.A., via Toronto and a championship. And, you know, I don't think Popovich is ever letting Kawhi go if there's not all that noise, that negative noise surrounding his, you know, last year in San Antonio.
Right. And Popovich deserves some credit for the development of Kawhi Leonard.
Totally.
As these players move around, I mean, Kevin Durant now obviously going to the Nets, but there is this desire to sort of identify the villain and all that. Why did KD leave the Warriors? Was it that the Warriors weren't good to him? Was it that KD's not loyal? Was it that somebody didn't treat him right way or look at him the right way? Did Steve Kerr and Kevin Durant have fights together? Everybody wants to create a villain. And it may just be that at the end of a good run, when your contract is up, you have that option to go look elsewhere. And when you look at the whole landscape of cities and teams, you want to make a move. And I don't know that there is a villain in some of these cases.
No, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, when KD left OKC, obviously, he was painted as the villain, clearly.
Mm, right.
And I stood up for him because I'm a Warriors apologist, no doubt. But now that I'm on the losing end of the KD sweepstakes, I'm not going to blame him. The guy is a free agent, free to do whatever he wants. And, you know, I think I have not heard KD speak. I've heard Kendrick Perkins on literally every sports outlet that I can get my hands on or ears on. All he does is bash how the, you know, he, KD says the Warriors took him for granted. Well, KD's not saying any of this. And until I hear it out of his mouth, I'm not really going to believe that. What I do believe, KD, I think the whole reason he left Golden State, believe me, he was fantastic for that team. No one can deny that. Neither would anybody in Golden State from the front office to the roster. The one thing he could never be in Golden State was Steph Curry, meaning not that he's not as good a player. Obviously, he is. But that team, they drafted Steph Curry. They built a team around him. They developed a team around him. And it will always be Curry's team, this era of Golden State.
Number one in the hearts of all the fans.
It will be. And that's not what Steph Curry demands or asks for or wants. That's just the simple fact that this team was developed and built around he and then eventually Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, all together. And so KD, for his own legacy, he needs to have, quote, his team. And I can't fault him for that. If that's what he feels is missing in his legacy, then good luck to you in New Jersey. I'm going to miss him being on the Warriors, absolutely. But I'm going to look forward to watching him. I think he will come back from this Achilles. And, you know, I want to say he's a bad guy. He's not a bad guy. I mean,
wow. Let me ask you about another player whose fate now hangs in the balance, Russell Westbrook.
Oh.
With George going to the Clippers, Westbrook left behind, all the whispers now that he will be traded. The Heat are on the short list, Rockets on the short list. Let's talk about the Rockets for a minute. It's unclear what they'd have to give up, how they could match all the salaries, but Clint Capella would certainly have to go in that deal. Eric Gordon probably as well. The Rockets would be then effectively assembling a big three with Paul and Harden and Westbrook. Is that a better team than the one they have today?
No. I'm going to flat out tell you no. And you mentioned the key piece to this, which is Clint Capella. I'm sure that's not what you expected to come out of my mouth. But you look at what happened when the Anthony Davis trade blew up in February, when it was Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball. I can't remember. There's another young gun on there. Those guys never recovered from being the trade block talk.
Mm-hmm.
And they had still a couple more months left to go of the season.
Yep.
As they felt like our superstar doesn't want us. We are worth nothing to this organization. We're just trade bait. And I guarantee you, after the Rockets gave Capella that great big contract last season, which he earned, and he has been doing everything they've asked. He's just been developing beautifully. And to get the numbers that he has in an ISO ball system of James Harden, I'll tell you, if Clint Capella, that's he's in every trade talk. If it doesn't go through, I think his psyche is damaged. And that could really not bode well going forward.
Well, it is tough. I mean, Capella is in every trade talk. One, because he's talented. And two, because he has a team-friendly contract.
Yes.
Math comes into the play there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that strikes me is that Russell Westbrook is a ball-dominant guy. He loves to control the ball. And to put him on a team with James Harden, well, actually, that's happened once before. But you imagine...
And how that worked.
Yeah, James Harden doing his ISO.
But at that point, James Harden was a six-man.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a totally different... That's a totally different role now. So, you know, not only do you have a four-year, $171 million contract left with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And you're paying Chris Paul. You've got $160 million in 4 years left with him and Harden and Capella. Oh, my gosh. Where's that coming from?
Yeah, it's a team of misfit contracts. Certainly, yeah. Paul and Westbrook's contracts would be coupled. It's probably two of the worst contracts in the NBA at that time.
Clearly.
And they'd both be on the same team. I mean, the Westbrook deal, and he's not a great shooter, really. Statistically, he's...
Oh, he's got the ball in his hands 30% of the time. How do you do that when you go to Houston, if you go to Houston?
Yeah, big name, a lot of talent. Oof. With Westbrook, just a hard fit. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap it up by taking a look at what we've learned from the gloss over the last 2 hours. We will return on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this hometown derby is shaping up to be pretty exciting. In round two, it's Guerrero and Peterson, and they have tied. And so they're going into a tiebreaker.
1 minute, you know, 1 minute for each. Guerrero's up now.
On the other side of the bracket, it's Pete Alonso and Ronald Acuna. But right now, it's Guerrero and Peterson in a tiebreaker. Very, very exciting night. $1 million at stake. All right. I now get to wrap up with what I've learned from you over the last couple of hours.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. The first is that Andrew Carlson here behind the glass filling in for Jose, he does a good job producing.
May never do this again.
Well, you think he does a good job producing the show?
I think he's fantastic.
You like his choice of music, but
yes.
you're disappointed that after the show, he won't go salsa dancing like Jose does.
It did cut me deep.
It cut you deep. Andrew, think about it. All right, number two. The Astros deserve all those six spots on the All-Star team.
Oh, yes, sir.
There's nobody you'd take off.
No way. I might even add a few.
All right, fair enough. Correa is not available.
No, but I'd take Yuli.
Okay, fair enough.
And Yordan, but obviously Yordan was a late add.
All right, and then one more Houston-related topic. You do not think that Russell Westbrook is a good fit for this Rockets team.
That's correct. I'm not sure. He's not a good fit for a lot of teams. He's an iso ball guy. You got to have people that are willing to defer to him because he is a super talent.
Okay.
But yeah, there's not enough time. There's not enough hands to share in Houston for him.
Fair enough. All right, coming up next is Alex Gold. He's got a show called The Gold Standard. Be sure to listen to him. If for no other reason than Andrew Carlson behind the glass will be producing that show as well. It'll be Andrew Carlson and Alex Gold up next on The Gold Standard with the Home Run Derby still underway, $1 million at stake. You're listening to The Boston Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.